Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
I just think that when we're in church, that what we speak about should not only help our Sundays, but it should help our Mondays, our Tuesdays, our Wednesdays, our Thursdays, our Fridays. What we teach here is relevant to everyday life. So Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, and it reads like this. For unto us a child is born. This was probably thousands of years before Christ came on the scene. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. Doesn't that give you great confidence? Thank God for Malcolm Turnbull and the opposition leader, and for Donald Trump, and for every other leader in the world, but ultimately the government does not rest upon them, it rests upon his shoulders. You might argue there's evil leaders in the world. Leadership is not evil. The concept's not evil. Sometimes evil people occupy those spaces. But he says the government will rest upon his shoulders. And it's good to know that ultimately what all rest on, his name is not called evil. His name is called Wonderful. I think it's time for some people to call their children wonderful. Come here, you wonderful son. Come here, you wonderful daughter. I think we should start a new trend. Come here, wonderful. I want to discipline you. It would just make such a big difference to how we approach life. And I think right at this moment, I'm thinking about doing deep poll. Pastor Wonderful. Wouldn't that go well? Wonderful. I'm onto this. Okay, and his name will be called Wonderful. His name will be called Counselor. His name will be called Mighty God. His name will be called Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Isaiah 26 and verse 12, it says, Lord, you will establish peace for us. For you have also done all our works in us. He will establish peace for us. Colossians says he has made peace through the blood of his cross. Christ has made and established peace for us. Why do we live outside of what's been established? And I think in life, many times, things are there for us, but we don't walk in them. We may be ignorant of them. We may feel we're not worthy to walk into that. But as we look at our message today, it's called, Are You for Peace? I had this thought running through my mind, and it goes like this. I'm trying to keep a quiet heart to make space for Jesus during this season. Trying to keep a quiet heart. Yesterday, I had the privilege of going down to RMS to register my car. In Orange Grove Road area, and I just think, wow, this will take 2 minutes. 2 hours later, I can understand why the cheese slides off some people's cracker and they go crazy. Go here, go there, do this, do that. And here I am standing here as a man of God and I'm just about ready to bless someone. Thank God I'm a Christian. I hate to see what I'd like to be as a pagan. And I just find sometimes in life that if the space that once existed between ourselves and our limits of what we can handle has been greatly reduced, we'll be plagued with anxiety. Remember in life when you used to, man, it would take you this long to get angry? This long to lose your peace. But I find in the world we're living at with the pressures, with the responsibilities and time and rush, that sometimes we were out here, but life has done something for us. Pressure of life, maybe problems with children, maybe problems in marriage, financial stress, work responsibilities. The Bible says that in the world you will have tribulation, but in me you have peace. Some people are into escapism. Let's forget about responsibilities. Let's forget about everybody else and let's go, let's get away from it. I don't believe that life, we don't bring out the best of life in avoiding responsibilities. We bring out the best by embracing what God has for us in our responsibilities and what our responsibilities and the burdens that we carry in life. You might say, well, what can you get anxious about? Well, you name it. Isn't it amazing? We're coming up to Christmas, you know, Santa Claus, and you just kind of think, how can I finance Santa Claus this year? So we worry about him, and we worry about getting all the relatives together. Everyone's got one of those relatives. What's his name? Uncle Albert, that every time he comes, he's a pain, and it causes anxiety. If your name's Albert. You know, anxious and about Christmas, not enough money, things that you may have forgotten. Oh, how many times you forget to do something? And I tend to write things down because it's not that I forget them forever. I remember them at the wrong time. Did you get the milk as you walk in the front door? I remember it now, but I forgot, you know. And sometimes it stresses us and sometimes in conversations, because our new generation, we do so much of our conversation via social media that we don't know how to kind of sit across the table and talk to people without having something written in front of us. So that can cause stress or the ability to get things done or we focus on what we haven't got, what I haven't got this Christmas. Little answer here. Why don't you focus on what you do have? I can focus on a lot of things I don't have, but I can focus on a lot of things I do have. I do have a wife that loves me. You see, we naturally seek to get better through our economic system. Each one of us kind of wants our life to get better. Subconsciously, we want our life to get better, or consciously. We want a better house, want a better car, better clothes, better health. And I'm not against any of them. Having a good house is great. But if you haven't got a good house yet, look after the house you've got. Because if you can't look after the house you've got, how can you look after a better one? You know, just those kind of thoughts. Or a better car is, man, I've got this old heap of junk and that kind of stuff. Why don't you give it a wash? It may feel nice. Better clothing, better health, and all those things are fantastic. But I want to tell you, you can have the best house in the street. You can have the nicest car in the car park. You can have the best clothes. But if you haven't got peace within your life, it's not worth much. But with peace, man, it just makes all those things so much better within our life. You see, things don't necessarily make a peaceful person. Matthew 11, verse 28 reads like this. You doing good out there today? Yeah. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all your labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come on, church. I believe in working hard. I'm a workaholic, but I'm not a stressaholic. I'm not going to stress and strain to get ahead in life. You do what you can. You got to learn to leave the rest up to God. And he says, all you that are laboring, striving within your heart, and are heavy laden and a burden, he says, come to me, I will give you rest. It's not a good night's sleep. You can be stressed out, but if you're full of anxiety, you woke up in the morning and you're still worn out. If you're physically tired, have a sleep, you'll be fine. But if you're stressed out, you got to learn how to back off. You got to learn how to get these things balanced within your life. And we'll show you how to do that in a moment. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for your mind, for your emotions, for your spirit. Comes this time of year, people get wound up. I understand it. There's a lot to do. But it just amplifies what's just below the surface in normal times. He says, come on, come to me, and I will help you to find rest. Hebrews says, strive to enter in to the rest of God. You've got to strive to enter into rest. So it's not just something that comes normal and natural. You know, a lot of people just want to pull back. No, but Jesus says in you moving forward, you can find rest for your souls. That even in the midst of stuff going on, you can have a rest, a supernatural rest that just blows people's minds away. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. You see, anxiety puts us in slippery places. Anxiety speaks about not having the answers. Anxiety depresses us, weighs us down, it nags at us. Kind of says, you're not going to make it. You haven't done this yet. Why? You can't handle this. Don't forget. Have you got enough? And on it goes. In Proverbs 12 and verse 25, it says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. I really hope today that Inspire Church becomes a good word to you today. That no matter what's pushing in around you, that you can hear a good word today and begin to get the heaviness and the anxiety to lift out of your soul. And I want to finish off this morning with just a couple of points. And it's found in Philippians. The answer is always found in the Word of God. Everyone say, in the Word of God. That's why it's always good to read the Word of God, not just on Sundays, but be a consistent reader 7 days a week. And it goes like this, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Reads like this, be anxious. So it says, okay, guys, you can be anxious, but for nothing. I just think, okay, let's get on to this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then it says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus addresses the subjects of anxiety. You know, the Word of God's written over about, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 years. And even back thousands of years ago, there was still the theme of worry and anxiety, how it has effects upon people's lifestyles and upon their health. And so he's saying here, be anxious for nothing. I just read that and just think, naturally, that does not make sense. To me, I hear that and God saying, John, be anxious, but be anxious for nothing. Doesn't make sense. But what he's really saying is, you do not have to be anxious about anything. Now, you do have your responsibilities, like I have my responsibilities. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I have my responsibilities financially. I pastor this church. I'm senior pastor of the Inspire Group. What else to do? I'm the state leader of our organization of 350 churches on our national leadership of 1,100 churches. And people say, how do you carry all of that? And it seems like you're always pretty cool. How do you carry all that? Well, it's not what you see at the front. It's what I do at home that makes a big difference. You see the public John, but you don't see the private John on his face down before God, crying out for mercy and crying out for strength to gain God's ability to move forward in life. So it says, be anxious for nothing. Now here's number one point. Listen to this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Too busy to pray. You've got it all wrong, my friend. If you're too busy to pray, you're just too busy. We got to learn to pull it back a bit. Sometimes I might sleep in. Sometimes I might be running late, but I'm never too busy to pray. Because I can pray in the car, I can pray in the shower, I can pray on the train, I can pray anywhere I like, I can pray speaking to you. It's a spirit of prayer, but everything by prayer. So if something comes up, whisper a prayer. You know, but what we do, something comes up and we got to go on social media, Facebook. Oh, this has happened in my life. Yeah, woe is me. And am I against that? Yeah. I really don't care. I don't want to hear about your problems on social media. I want to hear it one-to-one. So, and we go and talk to people. And then we go and talk to someone else. Then we go and talk to someone else. But the first person we should go to is Jesus. We should take it to God first. And then we should be talking to our friends to get wisdom of how to outwork it. But we take it to God first. Remember, God first in everything. In our problems, in our trials, in our successes. Train yourself to take it to God first. Then we need people. People cannot be God to you. Only God can be God to you. People can be a support of the God factor in your life, but you've got to find God in the situation. We're not alone in this world, but the first person we go to is God. God, I haven't got enough money. Go to God. Go to people. Well, you might need to adjust your budget. Or you may need to do. Go to God first, then find wise people. Number two is by prayer and supplication. Now, supplication is an interesting word because we understand prayer where we go to God and we're just whispering prayers and it's cool. But supplication is heartfelt emotion. And I believe this is such an important part of prayer. You can pray. I hear myself pray sometimes and say, John, that hasn't got enough power in it to blow past the roof. Pathetic prayer, John. Prayer full of emotion that propels through the atmosphere and hits the presence of God. And you might say, what kind of a prayer does that look like? It's about a mother that's on her knees crying out to God for her children. It's a father that's on his knees crying out for his marriage, for their finance. It's someone that's suffering within their life and they're on their face before God looking for a breakthrough. Oh, can I just pause for a moment? Come on, some of you people are ripping yourself off. Life may not be going your way. Life may not be fair and it may not. But I want to tell you, there's someone, there's your heavenly father that wants to turn things around for you so that you can know the fairness of God within your life. I see pictures of people's minds coming to me. You're sitting on the sideline because you've been dealt a bad hand, but God wants to stir your heart this morning and say, man may have done that, but it's not over yet. Interesting. When Israel was coming out of Egypt, the plagues came. They had blood, they had lice, they had, help me here. Oh, they had frogs. You want to hear about the frogs? Anytime Pharaoh just had to come and say to Moses, man, take the plague away. Moses put up his rod, plague gone, locust gone, water turned normal. It came to the frogs. Now you think about frogs. We've got a couple of frogs around our house. And I tell you what, it's so good to hear them. But my, they are noisy. I love to hear it. But just imagine if you had a plague of frogs. Not two, a plague. And they're in your ovens. The Bible says they're in their ovens. They're in their kneading bowls. They're in their undie drawers. They're in their socks. They were flipping everywhere. So Pharaoh goes to Moses and says, hey, can you get rid of the frogs? Moses says, yeah. And Pharaoh says, when? When you're ready. When you're ready. When are you going to get passionate enough to get down and secure your peace? When you're ready. It's not about God. It's when you're ready. Oh, Jesus, help me, help me. More social media. Oh, God, help me. Another talk, another counseling session. All those things are good. But when are you going to get down on your knees and say, God, if you don't help me, if you don't help me. Supplication. You pour out your heart to God. Get the passion run out. I know some of you guys need to do it. You tell God how you feel. I don't want to tell God how you feel. He knows anyway. He knows. Fully transform your burden into God's hand. If you go into God's presence and you walk out with the same burden, all you've done is gone into God's presence, had a whinge, and walked out again. Prayer, supplication is transactional. Am I helping you today? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you don't walk away with the burden of sin lifted from your life, all you've had is a conversation. There's transaction when we are encountering God. Like today, when you guys walk out of here, you'll be changed because there's a transaction that's happened. Your burdens have been lifted. There's a lightness that's come into your soul. Something has happened. This is the beauty of a Spirit-filled church. It's where the Holy Spirit comes and does transactions in the life of men and women. So prayer, supplication, get this one, with thanksgiving. Something changes. This is what I found. I pray, then I get desperate, and then something begins to happen where I just feel that burden's not there anymore. That stress is not there. I've got a sense of peace. I've got a sense of, whoa, it's all going to be okay. And when I arise, my prayer has changed. Not from help to thank you, Jesus, you got this covered. Thank you, Jesus, the money's going to come through. Thank you, Jesus, my children are going to be okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus, the marriage is going to come right. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're in charge of this situation. That does not take away our obligation. It takes away our pressure of carrying the burden. Now God's carrying it, and we're walking hand in hand with God, believing for the outpouring of that reality of what God has spoken within your spirit. So there's been transaction happened. We had a breakthrough. And now it's gone into thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. Some of you people, you're single. You pray, God, give me a wife, give me a husband. Social media, I am available. I am good looking. Look at my photo from 20 years ago. Airbrushed. I'll tell you what, I can have a pretty good photo too. I need all mine airbrushed these days, you know. Yeah, the old wrinkles come. But what about prayer? What about supplication? Why don't you get your breakthrough? Well, you may not know when it's coming, but you just know that I'm going to prepare myself to be that person so I can walk in to those things that God has already lined up for me. With thanksgiving, not complaining, but thanking Him. He has the answers. Live where you're at. Don't live in a fantasy, but I tell you what, once you've got a spirit of faith within your life, your whole disposition begins to change. You have faith. You believe. You still need wisdom, but something here says, hey, this is actually happening, and you're just waiting for it to happen on the outside. It's called the spirit of faith that comes with peace. And then it says, then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards your heart. That surpasses your comprehension. God, I should be falling apart, but I can't believe how you're carrying me. I've lost everything, but I've got your peace. I can't work this out. I've just lost my job, but it's funny, I've got supernatural peace. That's a God we're serving. Are you hearing me today? It's peace in the circumstance. It's peace in the storm. Remember when Jesus said to the disciples, we're on one side of the Lake of Galilee, we've got to go to the other side. So they all get in, he goes to sleep halfway across the lake. What happens? A big storm blows up. They are scared, absolutely spitless. They don't know what to do. Then all of a sudden they realize Jesus is in the boat. And I would encourage you today, if Jesus is in your life and a storm is blowing up, you need to awake him within your life. It's not that he is asleep, it's just that you've gone to sleep. And you've got to realize that you need to awaken him within your soul. Paul and Silas in prison, darkest hour, deepest, darkest dungeon. What are they doing at midnight? They're singing praises. Noel. I can't even think of the tune, but Noel. And something begins to happen because they had this peace within their heart in the darkest situation. Paul again, on a boat that was doomed to get wrecked. No control, no leadership, no rudder, no way of kind of guiding himself. And during the night, Paul must have been stressed and really anxious, and God appeared to him. Paul gets up the next morning and says, hey, do not fear anymore, because the God whom I serve and the God who is my friend and in whom I trust stood by me last night and said, it's all going to be okay. You've got to get that okay message from God within your heart. We either walk into a situation in peace or we find it in the circumstance. Sometimes I walk into something, I just know it's going to be okay. Other times, oh, gee, what's going on? And I've got to find peace in there. You see, God's desire for you is peace. Are you hearing me today? Even Ephesians said that your feet will be shod with peace. Peace. Understand he gives peace. Pray and ask for it. Seek it. Because he says, unto us, child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will rest upon his shoulders. His names will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. A ship was wrecked in a trembling storm, and the only survivor was a little boy who was swept by the waves onto a rock. He sat there all night until the next morning he was spotted and he was rescued. Someone asked him, did you shake with the cold while you're out there on the rocks during the night? Someone asked him. Yes, said the boy. I shook all night, but the rock didn't. And I believe that's for us today. That sometimes we may be shaking, but the rock doesn't shake. The rock affects us. It comes into our soul and gives us peace that is strong and established. And Isaiah 26 and verse 3 reads like this. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Where is my focus going to be? Lord, it's going to be on you. So I trust in you. Thessalonians 3:16. It says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Always in every way, may the Lord be with you. I love that. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace. In every way, always, every way, the Lord be with you all. I could have given you 10 ways of keep anxiety away. But I think God's given us some ways we do it. It's not a formula, it's a relationship. Prayer. Supplication, thanksgiving, peace.
Thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. For service times, upcoming events, or to find out more about Inspire Church, log on to inspirechurch.com.au.